We read God's word tonight in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, reading the first 14 verses. A portion of God's word for us tonight is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. May God's Spirit sanctify the word in our hearts. The prophet Ezekiel was faced with two vexing problems, two difficulties that he confronted as God's prophet to the captives in Babylon. The first problem that he faced was that the people of God would not reckon with the judgments of God for their sin. When God sent him to prophesy unto God's children in Babylon's captivity, that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed and pulverized to dust, the people responded to Ezekiel and said, No, 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 that can't be. Yes, things are bad, no denying that, but we are the people of God, and the temple yet stands in Jerusalem, and we put our trust in that. Ezekiel, you will remember with me, was God's prophet in Babylon to the captives of Judah. And for the first 10 years of that captivity, the city and temple of Jerusalem stood until Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it after 10 years. And in their carnal security and with a rather arrogant attitude, they said to the prophet Ezekiel, yes, things are not going as smoothly as we would like in our lives. Yes, there have been setbacks. We have made some wrong decisions, but things are going to come out all right. Things will right themselves eventually. We will be okay. And Ezekiel prophesied to them, chapter 33, and said, God will lay the land of Judah desolate and will destroy the temple because of the abominations that you have committed. And the people, again, chapter 34, responded to him by saying, Ezekiel, we like your sermons. God said, Ezekiel, you are to them like a lovely song who has a pleasant voice. We like your sermon, Ezekiel. It got brim and fire. But no. No, it's not that bad. His second problem was that the people would not believe the promise of God's mercy. For after Jerusalem fell and was ground into powder, Ezekiel returned to the people, and this time he prophesied that God was going to have mercy upon repentant sinners and restore them to their land. And they said to Ezekiel, no, no, that can't happen. We're done. We're finished. It's over. Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. First, they would not reckon with the depth or consequence of their sin. And then when the ugly reality of their sin caught them, they could not bring themselves to believe in the mercy of God's promises to restore them. First, they stood in carnal security. And then that carnal security was replaced by hopeless despair. This is our nature. Whatever God says, we find that we instinctively believe the opposite. To the warnings that God would make to us in His Word of sin and of their sure consequences, we say, no, no, no. Well, that won't happen to me. And then when we come under the chastening of a just and loving God and He sends trials upon us, then we say to the promises of God, no, it can't be true. It's not true for me. In this prophecy of chapter 37, Ezekiel is called to prophesy of the resurrection of dry bones, in which he is saying to the children of Judah in their Babylon captivity, who were hopeless and who were in the clutches of the demon of despair, and who saw no light of hope in their life, I will bring you out of your graves, O house of Israel. I will raise dry bones. Now on this glad resurrection day, God prophesies to us as His children tonight in His own word through Jesus Christ that He will open the mouth of our graves and He will bring out our dry bones, and He brings to us the gospel of hope in the risen Lord Jesus. O my people, He says to us tonight, He says to me as His servant, prophesy, Son of Man, and say, O my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come out of your graves. Is your hope tonight lost? Is your cherished desire and your prayer for what you wanted crushed? Do you find in your life only reasons for despair? Perhaps when your marriage was young, or perhaps at a former day, all of your hopes were as a body, beautiful and fair, but now this body of hopes, all that you wanted, has turned into dry bones, and you say, our bones are dry, and my hope is lost. Or is it tonight that the consequences of sin and the penalties of your sin have now dawned upon you and caught upon you? You bemoan yourself. You say, I was so foolish. But now the consequences of sin in my life are like a prison to hold me and to rob me of all joy. Or is it tonight that you are painfully aware of death itself? You carry around in your heart the open wound of the unalterable separation from a loved one, a loved brother, a loved child, a loved husband or wife. You feel, you cannot but feel, that you have been robbed of what should have been. And you have come, perhaps even in this day, to stand before the grave. You come to God tonight. Do you come to God with a trial, a burden, a broken life? Prophesy, Son of Man, prophesy. Prophesy to these dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye dry bones. Jesus Christ is risen today, and we are more than conquerors through Him that hath loved us. We consider for a brief time tonight, these bones will rise again. Let's note the vision itself, then we'll go to an interpretation or the fulfillment of that vision, and then we'll conclude with the living hope that is ours today. The Spirit of God carried Ezekiel in a vision and set him down in the midst of an open valley that was covered with dry bones. And the Spirit of God caused the prophet to walk around this valley in order that he would receive an impression in his heart that what he saw would make its due impression of hopelessness, the sober and awful reality of a valley covered and littered with dry bones upon his soul. And he says, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and they were very dry. There were very many, that is, the floor of the valley was covered with human bones, scattered human bones as far as the eye could see. And they were disjointed as if these bodies had been cut and severed. There were many bones scattered as far as his eye could see, and these bones were very dry. There was no flesh upon these bones. There was no trace of blood or moisture in the marrow of the bone. They were dry. They were bleached by the sun. They were there under the wind and sun for many years, so that now they were brittle. They were in the process of returning to the dust. You couldn't even pick some of them up without having them crumble in your hand. For God said, dust thou art, and you, dust shalt thou return. These bones had not been buried. They had been left where they fell. And Ezekiel realizes that he is standing on a battlefield, and he has seen a slaughtered army. Verse 10, when they are raised, they stand as an exceeding great army. He sees that he is seeing an army that has been slaughtered in its rank, row upon row. And now all of their bones, disjointed, ankle bone and knee bone and hip bone and femur bone and skulls, are strewn and exposed. And the vision is awful. And there is a silence in the valley that penetrates the soul of the prophet. No wind is blowing. And he sees the devastation of death. Death has not just come to these bones and former people, but death has feasted upon them. Death has taken them away. Death has ravished them. This is where sin has brought them. This is where sin leads us. For the wages of sin is death. This is where sin goes. This is the result of sin. This is what Satan's lie to Eve truly was. Hopelessness, despair, ghastly. And God says to Ezekiel, take it all in. Whose bones are these? Well, they are not the bones of the heathen. They are not the bones of the Babylonians. In fact, in chapter 39 of the book of Ezekiel, when we read of the destruction of Gog and Magog, we read that their bones, the bones of the ungodly, shall be buried. But these bones that have not been buried, verse 11 tells us that these bones are the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. That is the 12 tribes of Israel. That is the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel destroyed by Assyria, and the 2 tribes, the kingdom of Judah held captive in Babylon, the whole people of God. The people of God who in the Old Testament, the church, had been called to fight the good fight of faith. The people of God who had entered into the battle of all the ages against sin and the devil. The whole house of God. Apparently, the whole house of God has been defeated and destroyed and slaughtered. So it appears to Ezekiel. Death has taken them and destroyed them. Ezekiel then, God comes by the Spirit to his prophet, who is standing in the valley of death, and asks him the question, Son of man, can these bones live? Is there any way to change the sentence of sin and death? Is there any way to overcome this horrible consequence? Is there any way to dispel this hopelessness? Can this be overthrown, Son of Man? Can these bones live? And we would be ready for Ezekiel to blurt out the answer. Not a chance. Not a chance. But we read that the prophet understands by God's grace that it is God. It is God who is asking him this question. And he knows that if it is God who is asking him the question, that there is nothing impossible with the Lord, and that the Lord is asking him the question for a purpose. And so he responds wisely, O Lord God, thou knowest. He reasons that if God has given to him this question, and if God has confronted him with this horrible reality of dry bones, then God must have a gospel that he is going to bring to the prophet. And he says, Lord, thou knowest. And then God says to Ezekiel, and he says to you and me, he brings to us the power of his redemption, the power of his word in Jesus Christ, the power of his grace and purposes in Jesus Christ. He says to the prophet, prophesy. Imagine this, standing in a valley of dry bones, prophesy. To who? To these bones. Prophesy, preach to these bones and say, hear the word of the Lord, ye dry bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Speak, Ezekiel, speak my word. Bring my life-giving, my word, the word that lives and abides forever, that when it is in their heart, a person cannot die. Bring my word to these dry bones. And so he preaches first to the bones. And as he is prophesying to the bones, suddenly, as he brings the word of the Lord to them, suddenly there is a noise. There is a rattling. And the rattling is not the flutter of the wings of angels over these bones. And it is not the earthquake or anything of the earth, but the rattling that he hears is the clanking of these bones on the valley floor coming together and reuniting, being reunited into the body that they once were, a rib cage and a skull, a pelvis and a femur. All are coming together and reconstructing the skeleton. And then he observes that sinews come upon these bones, that is, the tendons and the muscles and the cartilage, fastening these bones together, again in a skeleton, and then flesh comes upon the bones, and then the flesh is covered by skin, and a great army is before him. But verse 8 tells us, there was no breath in them. The bodies, resurrected, lay still on the ground. There was no breath in their lungs. And he said unto me, Son of man, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, come. Come, four winds, O breathe. Breathe upon these that they may live. The word of the Lord commands the blowing of the wind. And the wind blows through the valley. And the result is that breath comes to these bodies. Suddenly he sees that their chests begin to heave with breath within them, and he says, they lived and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And this two-stage resurrection reminds us of God's creation of Adam in the beginning, when God first formed his body, his flesh and his skin, out of the dust of the ground, formed him as a body. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God, by his word and by his spirit, has resurrected dry bones, and they stand as an army before him. Hear the word of the Lord. On this day, hear God's marvelous, God's absolute and redeeming power to resurrect dry bones and to bring us to life. Hear the word of the Lord, which is his power unto salvation. As we read Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God now has spoken. The living God who created all things by his word and breathed into them life, God on this day has spoken through the higher, through the Son of righteousness, Jesus Christ, who is the word of God, to whom belongs all power, glory, and authority. God has spoken, hear the word of the Lord. Jesus Christ speaks, and he will speak upon this earth yet once more. And dry bones will stand forth as a great army. The interpretation of this vision we can divide into three parts: the past, the present, and the future. The fulfillment of these words is, first of all, then, in the past. They have been fulfilled first in the past, in the Babylonian captivity, when Judah was restored. That's what God is talking about. But remember, that restoration is only a sign. I say only because it's only a sign of the deliverance that is ours in Christ today. This is God's interpretation of the vision. Verse 12, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Verse 14, And I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. God is saying, this vision is a sign that Judah will be brought out of Babylon and will return after 70 years to Jerusalem to be restored in the land as the people of God. We sang from Psalm 126 in one of our Psalter numbers. And there these people of God, when they came back, say, we were like them that dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter. What great things the Lord hath done for us. This is a prophecy of Zerubbabel, of Ezra, and of Nehemiah. This is a prophecy to those people of God in Babylon who were oppressed by their sins and said, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off from that land of Canaan. God brought them back. The fulfillment is not 1948 when Israel was declared a nation by the United Nations. The fulfillment is not a premillennial hope that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ in Israel out of Jerusalem. That's not the fulfillment. The fulfillment is the return from Babylon. But I say again, Israel, Judah, is a sign in the Bible of the church, of those who embrace the promises by grace of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And therefore, the taking of Judah out of the bondage of Babylon is a marvelous picture. This resurrection of the vision of the valley of dry bones is a picture of our redemption from our hopelessness, from the dry bones of our sin in Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, Colossians 1, that everything holds together in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he is the center of all things. And therefore the fulfillment of this scripture is first of all Jesus Christ, who has taken us out of our death and redeemed us unto God. And we today are as those who laugh for joy in him. What great things the Lord hath done for us. This is a promise of God's grace. Do you say today, my bones are dried and my hope is lost? Do you say today, my marriage and the joy of that day is now a heaviness to me. Do you say my hope for my children? I can remember them when they were little. My hope is lost. It cannot be realized. Perhaps you don't even know where they are today. Do you say, my work, my career, my work, what I worked so hard for, is lost and is a failure? Do you say, my life, my hope is lost, my life was ruined? It was violated when I was a young person. And the demon of that abuse will not let me go. Do you say, my addiction, my sin, has gotten hold of me and has swallowed everything? Oh, my people, hear the word of the Lord. These bones are going to rise again. I will bring you out of your graves. God is promising an all-sufficient grace. God is telling us of a complete victory over our sin and death, and of a grace to bear you up, to strengthen, to settle, to assure you, to give you a peace, to give you a strength for each day. The fulfillment is secondly in the present, in the sense that this passage is speaking to us of the spiritual blessing of regeneration. The resurrection of the dry bones is a prophecy or a figure of the marvelous power of Jesus Christ to regenerate dead sinners. It is a prophecy of spiritual rebirth. Read today John chapter 5, the latter part of John 5, where Jesus claims that the great miracle is not the miracle when one day he stands on the earth to call dead bodies out of the grave. But he says there's a greater miracle than that. It's the miracle when I and the Father call forth life, when the Son quickens, makes alive whomsoever he will. When by his power and word he calls out of the dry bones of sin. Dry bones are a picture of our depravity by nature, of our spiritual death that reigns. We are in death. We are a valley of ourselves. We are a valley. All mankind is a valley of dry bones. And total depravity demands regeneration as the only way of salvation. No schemes of moral improvement, no education is going to instill morals and righteousness and virtue into a people. But the Spirit, only the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who blows from the four corners of the earth to renew and to bring forth the life of Christ by grace in the hearts of his children. What but the life of regeneration in our hearts gives to us a hope, even unto the end? And who but the Holy Spirit is able to blow upon the dry bones of our depravity and kindle in us to sing, my inmost being thrills with joy and gladness fills my heart, because on him my trust is stayed. my flesh in hope shall rest. Do you say, my hope is lost and my bones are dry for a loved one, a son or a daughter in rebellion? A loved one bound in denial, bound in delusion, bound in drunkenness, bound in a sinful way. Do you say with regard to them, can these bones live? Thou knowest, O God. Prophesy, prophesy, speak, Son of Man, the word of the Lord. To hearts tonight that are apathetic, indifferent, emotionless, so long, perhaps resentful of God, perhaps bitter of God, but now so long and so distant from God that the heart cannot feel apparently any pain of conscience. O breath of God, breathe upon these slain that they might live. To hearts that are bitter, despondent, ready to say it makes no sense, no good to serve God. To hearts that are under a pressing trial. O Spirit of grace, blow upon them, that they may stand up again as an exceeding great army in the Lord. The third fulfillment or interpretation is the future. This prophecy is a prophecy of the great day of the resurrection of our bodies, when our risen Lord shall descend to the valley of dry bones, and he will call the body to life, and our soul will be reunited to our bodies, and we shall stand before him as the great army of the Lord's redeemed in Jesus Christ. The body of our loved one in Jesus Christ that we have carefully wrapped and we have laid in a coffin. And perhaps we were there at their death and we closed their eyes. And we have placed them in the ground. Can these bones live? The loved one whose absence is so painful and becomes painfully aware today, especially today, all those who bear heavy trials today certainly will confess that in a certain sense Easter, as well as any of the celebrations of the church, Christmas or whatever it may be, are in a certain sense very hard and very difficult. For this death has left in us an open wound. Nothing can heal but the grace of our God. Can these bones live again? And what of the vast valley of the saints of God throughout the ages, whose bones are now dust, and there is no trace? And what of the bodies of those sons who were strewn upon a human battlefield and were told to the parents that their young man, their Christian son, is missing in action. And they have no grave. They have only a plaque, perhaps from the government. Can these bones live again? Thou knowest, O God. Prophesy, Son of Man, prophesy. Speak the word of the Lord, O ye dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. The day cometh in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, and the sea shall give up her dead, and Christ will raise the bodies of his dear ones. It is the day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall stand upon the earth, and his Spirit will summon from all the corners of the earth, and in one moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And these bones are going to live again. I will open your graves, says the Lord, and I will bring you into the land of glory. And he has. For Christ is risen from the dead. And Jesus Christ is no individual. He's no remarkable man. He is the head of the church. He is your head. He is your Savior. And all things that are true of him must be true for you. And he has sent his Spirit into our hearts. The day is coming when bone shall be joined to bone, and sinews will be fastened on the bone, and tendons and flesh will be upon those bones, and skin. And the soul will be reunited, and we will come forth from the grave. Do you say tonight, my hope is lost. My bones are dry. Do you say that? The Lord comes to us today and he says to the church, prophesy. Prophesy, Son of Man. Speak the word of the Lord. And ye shall know, says the Lord, that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. That means that the wonders of salvation bring us to know our God. When we look upon his work of raising Jesus from the dead, when we look upon his work of bringing us as a sinner to faith in Jesus Christ, then we know he is the Lord. He is the Lord. Do you say, my hope is lost? That's not true. That's not right. Don't say that. Say, my hope is sure. My hope is steadfast. Whatever God has promised to me, I may look to at his hand. Look for at his hand. Our hope is in Jehovah stayed. In him our hearts are joyful made. Our help and shield is he. I am the Lord. I have spoken it. I will perform it. Verse 14. Our hope is sure because God has said it. God said it. God said this. Do you hear the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord? Do you hear? These bones are going to rise again. If there is one thing in your life that you reverence, reverence the Word of God. If there's one thing that you trust, trust the Word of God. If there's one thing that you believe, believe the Word of God. If there's one thing that you hold to the Word of the Lord. The Lord has spoken it. And His words call for hope. Hope in the Word of the Almighty in the resurrection of His own Son, Jesus Christ, who says, O ye dry bones, I will bring you out of your graves, and I will take you to the land. Amen. Once again, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Scriptures. They are the way whereby the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ speaks our name. The blessed Scriptures which tell us today of the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. We thank Thee for the Scriptures, as they so accurately express the struggles of our own hearts. How frequently we as Thy children, as we are visited by trials and troubles, are tempted to say day in and day out, my hope is lost, my bones are dried, I am cut off from these parts. May we hear the word of the Lord that is spoken to us, Thy own word, for the voice, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The message of hope, of victory, of pardon, of life eternal, through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, to whom we belong in life and in death, to whom we belong forever. Amen.